I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio 537. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey. Joining me this week, we have Paris.
What's going on, everybody?
And also Patrick.
What's up, y'all? How you doing?
Yeah, good, man.
Good. Good to hear it. Good to have you back, Paris.
Did I go anywhere?
You weren't here last week.
I wasn't. You're right, I wasn't.
Yeah, we record so many episodes that we totally forget if we were here last week or not. You're a busy guy, Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Busy guy for the past few weeks.
Hopefully I'll have an announcement soon, but we'll see.
Interesting.
We're rooting for you, buddy.
Yeah, that's cool. All I can say is I'm proud of Paris.
Me too.
And he's quiet. But anyways.
I didn't know I was supposed to say anything.
He's humble.
It's all good. Guys, I'm happy. Actually, a couple of days ago, Spotify finally launched their, they added like podcasts into their platform now.
All right.
Finally,
I wish I had like
forever.
A little party popper or something, you know, something.
And, you know,
woo, finally, good for them.
The longest beta that I haven't seen so far.
They really want to make sure all those bugs were gone, clearly. Jeez.
Oh my God, since May of last year.
Man.
Wow.
Quite the dev team they got.
So if you have, right now they only have it for the mobile phone. So if you have Android, and I believe now by the time you guys listen to this, I think iPhone is also going to have the new update. So you can watch videos and listen to the podcast. So you can find us through there. Just search for Gamertag Radio or go to the gaming tech and gaming section. You will find us there and stuff. And for those that discover us by mistake and find us through Spotify, please let us know. Because I'm very curious if people are actually using that section or not. So please just contact us, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR, or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com and let us know if that happened or not. So pretty proud about that, man. Pretty cool. Cool stuff, man. Also, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. You can listen to our past episodes there and share it with your friends. And yes, you can find us everywhere, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and of course now Spotify. So pretty cool stuff, man. So, wow, a lot of news been going on around for the past day or two, all about EA, Electronic Arts. A lot of changes, and they also talked about like their earnings for the past 2015 and all that stuff. So we're gonna talk about all that stuff because it's gonna be a very long conversation, I think. But let's talk about the big news that just came out recently. They're not going to be at E3, they're not going to have a booth at the show for this year. Instead, they're going to have an event across the street, like a block or two from the convention at Nokia Theater, right there in downtown LA, for the fans. Anybody could go there, try out all their games that they're going to have that's coming out for this year. I think it's a great, great idea. And here's the scary part, though. I'm wondering, is this like the beginning of the downfall of E3?
Yes.
Because this, let me tell you, like if you go to E3, EA is one of the gaming companies that have the biggest booth at the show floor out of everybody out there from like third party companies and stuff. So it's very, very scary how that, you know, Nintendo did that last year, you know, not having a press conference at E3. They made a lot of changes throughout the years, and now EA is doing this too. It's very interesting how things are changing. And they can have a press conference on a Sunday afternoon instead of Mondays.
No, your thoughts, guys. It is the future. It is absolutely where all this is headed. Even if you look at an event like Comic-Con, Microsoft does something similar there as well. Like you mentioned, what Nintendo did last year just makes sense for a big third-party publisher like EA to just separate themselves from the madness of EA and talk directly to the community. Because here's the thing. We go to E3 every year. It's great. You know, we get to do interviews and stuff like that, check out these games early, but it is a freaking zoo. You know, you're running across from hall to hall trying to get all these interviews and do all this kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, with the way that social media is now, with Twitch, with YouTube and everything, we're really not needed anymore. We really aren't, if you want to be honest. The publishers can talk directly to the consumers now and show off their games in a controlled manner, and then also have the highlight of letting the average consumer get hands-on time with their game. I'll tell you this, that Nokia Center is going to be a hot mess come this June, because it's going to be open to the public and it's going to be very hard for us, unless we have scheduled private section, to be able to get hands-on time with any of this stuff and to get those. And I know they still said they're going to do private meetings and everything at E3 proper, but if this is a success for EA, Activision's going to do it. Ubisoft, however you say it, they're going to do it. Microsoft's going to do it. Sony's going to do it. Nintendo has already played around with doing it. Why wouldn't they? It just makes sense. And the E3 that we see today is gradually, slowly but surely, is going to go away, because there's no point for it anymore. It's just about being a spectacle now versus being an actual event to get things done, in my personal opinion.
I mean, look at Sony. They have their PlayStation Experience to this open to the public,
where there you
people
go.
Just buy their tickets and stuff. And it's been working. This has been. I know Possum went to that this year.
Yeah,
he had a great time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it was a wonderful experience to both have that direct connection to small dev teams or single guys who make games, you know, basically on their free time, and contrast that with you talking with the people that literally are so dedicated to the PlayStation brand that they would come out of state to come to this. You know, this is a big event for them. So the excitement is real, and the developers are right there and have that direct connection to their source. And I would love it if this wasn't used so much as a marketing tool, because I kind of feel like that what is predominantly what this is geared towards. I would love it if we could get some of these development games or the pre-alpha stuff shown to the community in a controlled setting, mind you, nothing obviously negative, but still to the point where the community can directly influence the direction the game's going. Because I feel like, you know, if you want an example from EA, Star Wars Battlefront, not a better example you could find in terms of they totally missed the ball, I think, on directly connecting with the fan base that's been there since the beginning and focusing too much on, like, this is the biggest Star Wars launch ever. And they're not wrong. Battlefront sold a lot of copies, but that was mostly to people that had been on the sidelines of this, not the ones actively following the development, you know, the death of Free Radical, the loss of the original Battlefront 3, that, you know, weird, awkward time of, like, are we even getting a Battlefront 3?
But Poston, that's such a minority of the overall fan base. They're the ones who would
be the first to show up and reserve these tickets to these events. I'm just saying.
Of course, but that's my point. It is a marketing thing. It is a let's get our game out there for the mass consumer to see in an environment that we control. It's not about let's get everyone in front of the game so they can give us proper feedback in a weekend period. That's not what it is. That's why they have these, you know, these community sessions where they bring people into the studio and let them play the game and get feedback that way. They're not going to do it in a quote unquote E3 type environment. Let's be honest here. E3 is a giant marketing thing. It is not something to help shape the way a game is going to come out, you know, in its final form. It's just something to get people excited. That's all it is.
Yep. Every company out there, Possum, that's been doing this with the fans is because of marketing. You know why? Because these fans never been to E3. So let's say a fan goes to this event later this year, to the EA's event, which is going to be open to the public, and they get to play a game that it's not out there to the masses yet. It's only at this location. They're going to be excited. They're going to be talking about this to their friend, to their friends, family, Twitter, social media. You know, it's just going to go around. So this is like a great marketing tool to promote their games. Every company has been doing this for years. Microsoft has done it. Sony has done it. Nintendo, every other company. So what is the difference by EA making this move?
And also, let me throw in one other thing before you respond, Poston. Look at what they do in Europe with Gamescom. That is completely open to the public. You have hundreds of thousands of people that come through that convention center over that weekend. It is geared to get people excited about their games. It is not geared to shape development. It's just fact. And if anything, EA's probably just taken the template that they're doing at Gamescom, and they're just doing it here in the United States as well.
I have no problems with that. I mean, certainly if I was still an everyday gamer, I would jump this opportunity. Because sitting on the sidelines of E3, it's rough. And like you said, even if you do,
but it's not anymore, though. That's my point. It's not E3. If you really think about it, you can get more done during E3 by keeping your ass at home versus actually going to the event. Because
yeah, you know what? Yeah.
Everything's on YouTube. Everything's on Twitch. Xbox Live showing their stuff on there. PlayStation Network showing all their stuff on there. You get more. It's funny. I learned about more things when I got home from E3 than when we were there last year. Because you miss most of it because you're running around to your various appointments, which looks, don't get me wrong, we love it and we like to do it. But the average person is going to get more information at home than they are actually being at the event. That's just a fact in today's technology. That's just how it works.
Yeah, and that's fine. I think for me, the excitement comes from being there in person. And for me, more so, it's interacting directly with the guys and girls who make this game. Who make these games that I'm so passionate about. Or more importantly, if I'm shown a new IP, I want to know as much as possible. And it just fascinates me to follow the development process. So, I mean, that's awesome that people have the opportunity now to play these games without having to deal with the madness of trying to get into E3 itself. This is great. I will mourn this. E3 means a lot to me. I think it's a really big deal. I think it's important to have the hype in the industry. I guess I just don't want EA to completely lose what they've had for so long in terms of being that powerful presence in the South Hall.
But they're not. They're not.
It was to me.
They're not, though. If anything, they're going to be even more celebrated because they're doing their own event. They're letting the average person get hands-on time with it. If you're willing to wait in the line, you're going to be able to go in and play any of the EA games that you want. Mm-hmm. Other publishers are most likely going to eventually follow suit with this as well. If anything, it's going to make E3, whatever you want to call it, but you know, 5 years from now, it's going to be an even bigger spectacle than it is now, because now everyone will have a chance to see these games. I mean, think about it. The big things that happen at E3 are the press conferences, right? The media briefings. That's where all the glitz and the glam happens. That's not going away. We're still going to have those. They're still doing the media briefings, right? And then after the media briefing, instead of it just being people like us that get to go in and do our appointments and get hands-on time with this game, anybody who's watching that media briefing on television can come to Los Angeles and go to that EA booth or building or whatever you want to call it, and they can play any of the games they want if they want to wait in line to do it.
Sounds good to me. I mean, I look forward to seeing how they handle this. Logistics sound like a nightmare on their end.
Oh, it's going to be. 100%. When I saw that, I was like, oh, God, the lines.
I really doubt it's going to be free to the public.
It is. They've said that. They said, we are not charging a fee to attend, in quotation marks. Ooh. They said they haven't announced yet how you'll get the tickets in advance, but it'll be some kind of first-come, first-served reservation, I imagine. But they said 100% we're not going to charge you money to get in here, which is the way it should be. I think that's not the way you want to handle that. PlayStation Experience is a separate format that works, but I think if you actually want to get people involved in this, it has to be free initially. And if it's a big success and they can spin off and do their own EA experience, great, then you can charge for that. But I think it's a smart move not to charge anything to get people in the door. Just make sure there is a very well-kept reservation list. And, you know, if you're passionate and you want to be there, you know, you need to be the first one on the website mashing F5 to get in on that.
Oof, man.
The lines will start Thursday night.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I promise you that. For sure. And here's the thing. Think about this, guys. This year is going to be EA's year.
Oh, yeah.
So many games coming out this year from EA. that place is going to be a zoo. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be crazy. Oh, my God. I can think about it. Just imagine fans of Battlefield, fans of Mass Effect. Who knows? Titanfall.
Mirror's Edge, man. Go on.
Well, Mirror's Edge comes out in May. So it'll be out.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
And even those that are fans of just Madden and the sports games, they're going to be there. Oh, my God. It's going to be a crazy. I hope they're ready for this, man, because it's going to be a lot.
Well, but think about it, though. EA is obviously very confident in their 2016 lineup to do something like this, that they know they have some heavy hitting AAA titles coming this holiday, that they want to get people excited about it. They want to make sure everyone is aware of these games. So you do your media briefing first, which I think is brilliant, by doing it on Sunday, kind of like what Bethesda did last year. And then you say, you know what? You just saw all these great games we did. Well, guess what? Now you can go to Nokia Center and play them all if you want. It's brilliant. So it's such a smart thing, because look, everyone's going to lose their minds when they see Mass Effect. Battlefield 5, I'm sure, is going to have some crazy component to it. And, you know, like you and I were talking offline, you know, Miss Cleo Tinks, we're going to have a Titanfall beta this holiday. I mean, they're going to do something crazy, and they're not talking about it. But come on, there's going to be something Star Wars. There has to be.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, OK, for those that are listening and saying beta, what are you talking about? All right. This is a theory why I'm saying this, because I just don't think that Titanfall and Battlefield are going to come out the same year.
No,
it just doesn't make no sense to me. You know, why are they going to release back-to-back first-person shooters the same year? You know, unless they release it sometime in summertime, but which I really doubt that's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So I think, talking to Paris, I'm like, okay, putting my theory out there, I think that we might have, Battlefield's coming out this year. Maybe October, September. And for those that buy Battlefield, maybe you get a access code for the beta of Titanfall, which comes out next year or something like that. That's my theory, which when I mentioned it to Paris, like, it makes sense.
Sounds solid to me.
I was like,
I mean, plenty of Battlefield fans out there probably haven't even tried Titanfall before. It's a great tie-in to me.
And speaking of Titanfall, just side note, I went online yesterday to play some Titanfall on the Xbox, and I noticed the player count worldwide, 4,000 people worldwide were playing Titanfall, which is a shame, because it really is a great shooter, and a lot of the features they added after that update, which was not last year, I guess it was a year before,
2 years ago,
It's a fantastic shooter. It's still one of the best shooters this generation. And, you know, it got buried in all that nonsense and no one's playing it now, which is a shame.
Hey guys, Patrick here. And look, we all know Valentine's Day is right around the corner, so you guys are probably already stressing out what to get that special someone in your life. But let me make the decision a bit easier for you. You guys want to check out Sherry's Berries. These are delicious chocolate-covered strawberries, fresh and ripe, delivered straight to your door right now for a great price. You can get a dozen chocolate-covered strawberries in dark chocolate, white chocolate, and milk chocolate. It's a great assortment for only $19.99. That's 40% off what you'd usually pay for them. And the best part is, too, if you want to double that order to 24 strawberries, you can only have to pay $10 more. Just go to berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S, berries.com. Click on the microphone, enter the code GTR. That'll automatically double your order from 12 to 24 for only $10 more. Can't stress this enough, guys. I know how tough the gift-giving process can be, but if you want a gift that's delicious, memorable, and eye-catching, you've got to go with some Sherry's Berries. Again, you can check them out at berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Enter the code GTR.
So what we have seen is more and more, you know, we need to be close to our player. And what you've seen from us over the last couple of years in almost all of our actions, whether it relates to, you know, development or marketing or sales, is attempts by us and endeavors by us to get as close as possible to our players and get direct feedback from them. We believe that's the single best way to ensure that we're making games that they want to play and that we're making some of the best games in the industry. And we see this as an opportunity to do just that, get close to our player, invite them in an environment where they feel comfortable to play games, give us feedback, and and interact socially as they do, whether it's through social networks or with their friends or what have you. We continue to be members of the ESA, and we will have meeting rooms at E3 this year. So what we see we're doing is augmenting the overall E3 experience, and we're excited by what we're going to be able to do as it relates to EA Play, and we're excited for what the industry is going to be able to do as it relates to E3 more broadly.
I think it's going to be a huge success once this new one comes out.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be available to more consoles now. And it's they learn from their mistakes and, you know, from the first game. And
I assume maybe we'll have a campaign.
I'm excited.
Time, like a real one.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's talk about they had a conference call today, EA, and they talked about like the earnings for, from last year. They talked about what things are coming up for 2016. It was a lot of interesting stuff there, man. But Paris, what were one of the things that, because we were like reading online and we were reading online of people that were talking about the conference call and stuff. But man, let's talk about this. Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront, 13 million copies sold in 13 million. That's a lot of copies.
Yeah,
man.
But I'm not surprised, though. I mean, think about it. It's Star Wars, number one, you know, the first new one on this new console generation. And then just look at all the success that The Force Awakens happened. There's just a buzz with that name. And it's, you can play a Star Wars game. So people are running out to pick it up. And I believe they said they were surprised at, not surprised, but they had more physical copies sold than they anticipated, because it sounds like it was a big stocking stuffer at Christmas as well, which makes a lot of sense.
Yep. And also said that I'm reading this from their press release. The return of Need for Speed drew more than twice as many monthly active players in the third quarter than the previous game. I haven't played the game, so I can't really comment, because I was very disappointed on the previous game. But that's good to see that it's getting support. Also, Paris, I think they slipped. They talked about something about how many units sold out there for both consoles, right? For PlayStation 4 and Xbox. And we were like in shock when they mentioned those numbers. Oh my God, I can't remember exactly.
It was 55 million total. And then we basically know that there's about 35 million PlayStation 4s out there.
Yep.
So when you do the math, they're basically saying it's almost 2-to-1 PlayStation 4 to Xbox One.
And they also mentioned during the conference call that there's going to be more information about Titanfall sometime next month. What's going on next month? Is it GDC next month?
Yeah, March. March. If you say it's February already, because what is there? DICE is coming up, and then GDC is March.
Interesting.
So, yeah, up in there somewhere. But not surprising. I mean, again, you got to think about it. We know Microsoft is doing their spring showcase at the end of February. So it wouldn't be surprising to see EA have some announcements of their upcoming games as well.
It's good. They're making moves so far for this year, man. So interesting to see what they have planned. Like, because I think in Q1, they only have Mirror's Edge coming out. Unravel is coming out too, right?
Next month. Or this month, I guess.
Next month. Well, actually now in February.
Yeah, February.
And what else is coming out from them? After that, that's it, right? Until summer, I guess. There's nothing else really.
Then it's E3, and I'm sure they'll make all their announcements there on what's coming in the holiday with release dates.
Just want to talk about very quick. Now, next topic, Paris. I know you're a big fan of Destiny. What in the world is going on with Bungie, man?
Man,
there's controversy everywhere about what's going on with them.
Okay,
please,
here's the thing.
For a person that doesn't know much what's going on, explain to me and the listeners out there what's happening.
Okay, here's the thing. First and foremost, Harold Ryans, who's been the longtime CEO for Bungie, and I'm doing air quotes here, stepped down, and Pete Parsons, who's been the chief operating officer. If you think wrestling, Vince McMahon stepped down and Triple H just got promoted to CEO. Think of it that way. So Pete Parsons is now the CEO of Bungie, and he put out a statement saying, thank Harold for all his being a friend, longtime service, blah, 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 and that they're going to refocus in Destiny, obviously, in appeasing the community is their number one priority. Now, we're actually recording this the day before the Bungie weekly update because they pushed it back to Friday. But Destiny, I do want to say Destiny's in trouble. I still play it because I play with my son. You know, he got a PlayStation 4 for Christmas and we've been playing together, and that's been a lot of fun because I get to play with my son. But if I wasn't playing with my son, I wouldn't be playing the game right now. The Crucible is absolutely broken because of the matchmaking. They still need to do some weapon balancing, and they just quite simply don't have enough content because I've basically done everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've made a couple of now, like Iron Banner's going on right now, and it's Rift, which I roll my eyes. I'm not going to play that. And they're going to have a new Valentine's Day event during the week of Valentine's, something like that, next month. It's kind of like the Festival of Lost that came out during October. It's a small event, and they're promising something bigger coming in 2016. But thanks to Kotaku, we also found out that Destiny 2, which was slated to be this September, has been pushed back. It's been delayed, which I think has a lot to do why Harold Ryans has been removed as CEO, is they're behind in development. The community's not happy, because if you go to any of the Destiny communities right now or podcast, everyone's complaining. Go to the Destiny Reddit, everybody's complaining. It's, again, at its core, it's a great shooter. But they got to figure out a solid plan. Get just like I was talking about with the Division, which I think could be a problem that they may or may not have. We'll see. Is to have steady content coming out, or if you're not, at least talk to your community and let us know what's going on. And I think that's the biggest problem right now, is Bungie is simply not telling us what is going on, because I don't think they know what's going on either. And it's a huge problem. So I'll be very curious to see what Deej has to say in his Bungie weekly update, which by the time you're hearing this will already be out. But yeah, they're in trouble, and they need to get this fixed by this E3. And they need to blow people away by this E3, because if they simply don't, and they don't have a big raid or some big in-game content in 2016, people are going to leave Destiny and they're not coming back, period. They're going to move on to the Division or something else, and they're going to find another game to play. They're not going to trust Bungie to fix these problems unless they get it done soon.
Wow.
And here's the crazy thing. We didn't even know what's going on with what's going to happen with Mass Effect. That's a scary part, too.
Well, that's fine, because that's probably so plot-sensitive. We don't really want to know anything.
What does Mass Effect have to do with this?
No, because you said the Division, and we don't know if BioWare is going to take it to that
no,
level.
I highly doubt. They're not going to do anything. Nah, okay. They're not going to do
that. I mean, don't attack me, Jesus. I'm just,
well, all of a sudden, we're talking Destiny, yeah, and you're like, Mass Effect. And I'm like, what?
I don't know, Paris. I guess to take the counterpoint, I mean, I think I'm invested enough in Destiny for the long term, but I'm fine sitting out on the sidelines until we get new content. You know, it doesn't trouble me that we haven't known anything, because, I mean, I don't expect them to give us every single piece of detail about what they're working on, but whenever they do come up with a new content, I'll be the first one to jump back on board. So they have me, at least because the gameplay is fun, but I have no expectation to be like, you know, Bungie, why am I not finding this fun every single day?
I got no. And I agree with you on that. If anything, I would suggest everybody put Destiny down and leave it alone until they give us some solid answers on what the next step is going to be. I think what the problem right now is, we're kind of in this weird limbo of the multiplayer's broken. And you're not telling us any, even though I know they're doing some matchmaking things right now to try and fix it. But, the game currently in its current state is not right. It's not just, hey, I want something new to do, but the old stuff is perfectly playable and fun. It's like, no, they got to do some weapon balancing. They got to fix the matchmaking in the Crucible. There's some other things with loot drops and the way that we're progressing that people are still complaining about. Like, if I just got Destiny at Christmas and I just blew through the content and I did the raid, I'm sitting there scratching my head. I'm like, okay, now what? And Bungie's not telling me anything. And, you know, a lot of the hardcore people have fallen off. Look at Pete. Pete's not here tonight, but Pete, we've had conversations offline. He's not touched the game since November, and he said he's done. And he was just as hardcore as I was playing the game. And I think that's the major issue here, is they're going to lose their hardcore audience, and they're not going to trust Bungie to redeem themselves if they got to wait until 2017. That's the big thing. They got to do it this year. If they don't give us something relevant in 2016, people are gone. Not to mention throwing the nonsense with the silver and the microtransactions and all that. You know, it's like, I'd rather pay for DLC and, like, look, I know I'm paying for this DLC because I'm getting X in September, October, versus, hey, just do microtransactions and we're going to give free stuff to you that I don't care about. Right. So they got to have something major coming in 2016 that's going to be the end result of all these free micro transaction silver nonsense. Because if they don't, people are gone.
Now that part, Paris, who do you blame? Activision or Bungie, though?
Both. Because Bungie is an independent developer. They signed a contract with Activision, yes. But if Activision tried to pressure them into doing something they didn't want to do, they could simply say no.
They can't. They're under contract, though.
But unless that was specifically written, that's my point. I blame both. Because in other words, when the contract was written, you agreed to this, right? So yeah. They both take the blame. So if it isn't in the contract and you decided, oh, I'm going to do it, you're still at fault. So Bungie and Activision, they both take blame. In my personal opinion, I don't cut either one slack in this situation because either side, if they thought it was a bad idea, could have balked against it. And obviously, they both agreed it was a good idea.
All right. Well, guys, please let us know what you guys think about this whole Bungie mess. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. You could also send us audio through there, too. All right, we'll put it on the show during fan mail. Love doing that.
Don't make the mistake of putting your Valentine's Day shopping off until the last minute. Valentine's Day is quickly approaching, and it's on the Sunday this weekend as well. Wouldn't it be great if you could just order something quick and easy for your special loved one and have them delivered on time for Valentine's Day with little or no effort? Take it from me. ProFlowers are the flower pros, and they make Valentine's Day easy. I trust ProFlowers every time to get it done, and so can you. Right now, ProFlowers is offering our listeners one dozen assorted roses, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. And if you order this week, they'll throw in free chocolates too. Or really do it right and double the roses for just $9.99 more. And all you got to do is go to ProFlowers.com and use our code GTR. It's quick, easy, and delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. So are the flowers. If they don't last at least 7 days, you can get your money back. You can literally do this on the mobile device while you're listening to the show. You can't beat that. So head on over to proflowers.com and use the code GTR to get a dozen assorted roses and free glass vase for just $19.99 and free chocolates. They're really good.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Pawson, very quick, before we go to the next topic, because I'm curious, man. It's been a week with your PC. How's that going?
It's amazing, man. Seriously, just the amount of things that I can get done multitasking-wise, being able to run games, you know, at max settings, 60 FPS or higher, it's refreshing to not have to put up with some of the... I feel like the limitations that consoles have in some ways is certainly my continued frustration with the Xbox One's UI. You know, even with the new update, I'm still having frustrations with either things being too slow, not loading the right way, just the minor things that bother you. And then when you move to, in my experience, my Windows 10 PC experience has been flawless for the most part. I haven't had any issues at all or any... you know, big concerns with games I've been playing. I went back to play Fallout 4 and haven't touched that since November. So clearly that has gotten a lot of patches and updates because it looks and runs better than it did back when I was playing it last year. So just overall been a great experience. It gets me really excited, even for something like The Division, because, you know, by the time you listen to this, the beta will probably have already been out for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. I'm looking forward to trying the beta on PC, seeing if I can change my initial impressions of the game over the last 2 years. And I feel like that's going to apply to other things as well. You know, games I normally would have only maybe, like, you know, checked out online or checked out at an E3 appointment and then probably never gone back to. It feels like I've opened myself up more to a larger amount of both genres and, you know, play styles. You know, playing a game, you know, either for the experience, for the story, for the multiplayer aspect, for your friends, for, you know, the challenging aspect of, you know, puzzle solving, however you want to look at it. Just, it's a lot of fun to be able to have this open access to so many other development styles out there, and it's exciting to me. It's almost overload, though. Like, I feel like I'm fighting against the grain because new stuff comes out on Steam every week. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to sift through what's good, what's people are buzzing about. I want to stay ahead of the curve. Like, for instance, I haven't even got a chance to check out Jonathan Blow's The Witness, which is now available. I've been hearing a lot of good buzz about that. I need to check that out. But just, it's exciting, and especially looking forward to something like, you know, having GDC right around the corner, big announcements there, obviously, and looking forward to E3. it's just a lot of fun. Not to mention the possibility of the virtual reality. We could get some actual major announcements from HTC and from Oculus and Sony with the Morpheus as well. It's a lot of stuff going on. It gets me really excited to be part of this now. Like, I'm right there at the forefront with you guys, and I'm really looking forward to this year. I'm excited to get into PC gaming.
Paris, you got to recommend some games for him to check out through Steam, because I know you have a lot.
Yeah, I only have like 35 games on Steam right now, so I'm definitely on the very bottom end of most people on Steam with their huge libraries, for sure.
There's definitely a ton of stuff out there on Steam to check out. GOG, good old gaming, who is basically a subsidiary of CD Projekt Red,
yep,
which is like the counter to Steam. They got a fantastic early access program that they're rolling out right now, so you might want to check that out.
I need to check that out. Good call. Actually, I went ahead and I was lucky enough that I'd saved my download voucher codes we had gotten for Witcher 1, 2, and 3 a couple of E3s ago, and I finally was able to use those and actually got Witcher 3 up and running on my PC. And oh my god, you know, I thought I loved that game on PS4, but holy crap.
And you got a 980 Ti, right?
Yeah, 980 Ti.
So, yeah, so because my 980 runs it. Are you doing it in 1080p or higher res?
1080p right now.
Okay, 1080, yeah, because I can run the Witcher 3 full res, ultra everything on my 980, so I'm sure you can do the same. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh my god, I could only play for about 2 hours before I was just overtaken by I couldn't even fight in combat. I was too distracted by taking everything in, the shadowing, the lighting, even something like, I mentioned this on a previous show, but just like the fact that Dragon Age Inquisition looks like a sequel to that game on PC because the amount of textures and lighting that they added that was not present on the PS4 version that I played last year, it just blows my mind. All the stuff that I had no idea, this technology, these new techs they're pushing on PC that I was just not exposed to as a console gamer for, you know, 20 years.
Hey, that's why I held off on Tomb Raider, because I wanted to play it, Rise of the Tomb Raider. Yeah. I want to play it on PC. And
it just came out.
Yeah, it just came out. So I'm probably going to pick it up here in the next week or so. And then I'm going to get The Witness on PC as well, which has been getting amazing reviews. Yeah. And I love puzzlers, so it's going to be right up my alley, I'm sure.
All right, so question, The Witness, like, explain to me what it's about, because I haven't been...
I don't know either. I just know it's you're on an island and you solve puzzles. That's all I needed to know.
And it's only available on consoles? On PC?
It's on both.
It's exclusive on PlayStation 4.
I'm
PC.
I'm going to download it. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely going to download it.
$40.
Steam OS?
I don't know if it's Steam OS or not. I don't know. I'd have to check on that.
I had this conversation with Poston a couple episodes ago. I'm probably going to be buying Street Fighter on for my Alienware Steam machine.
Yeah, I recommend it. Honestly, like, I love my PS4, but just the fact that I don't have to go buy another $150, $200 arcade stick just for the PS4 because they won't let my 360 stick play nice with the PS4. And a 360 stick will play nice with Steam. I mean, that's a no-brainer to me. That saves a huge amount of money on my end. And it runs at, you know, the max settings the way the developers were developing it. That's, I don't see any negatives there.
Definitely gonna be doing that.
I could play
with PlayStation owners too online, which is cool. So what happened, Paris?
Yeah, I'm on Steam something? And it's showing it Windows only.
Oh, damn it. You guys are killing me. I'll just download it on PlayStation 4.
Yeah, it's on PlayStation 4 as well.
Yeah, I'll do that. Awesome. Okay, very quick, Paris. I know there was new information that just came out about The Division Season Pass, like early details about like their expansion packs. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know you mentioned it to me a couple days ago.
I love how you put me on the spot because I don't have it all in front of me.
I sent the email.
So I can't go into detail of what each expansion pack is about. But basically they're coming out with a season pass. They have not given a price that I remember seeing in the press release. And it's three different DLC packs is coming down. One, I know it takes you underground.
That's the name of the expansion one. Yeah. It's called Underground, yeah.
It sounded like the second pack was more of like a horde mode, I believe, something like that. And then the third one, they just said to be determined. They're not telling us exactly what's going to be yet. And there's going to be a lot of free content as well, which, you know, during our interview with The Division, they talked about it then as well. So, hey, like I was saying when we got a chance to play it and we got to interview the creative director is, you know, what's the plan for content? They're giving us a plan. That's all I care about. Let me know what I can expect throughout 2016 for this game, and I'll be happy. And I haven't personally been playing the beta, but just watching Twitter and everything, it seems like I was concerned about the loot in there. people seem to be pretty happy with the loot that they're getting out of the Dark Zone so far.
That's good.
Nice. That's definitely
good. I was having this conversation with Paris because I called him and stuff. I always do, and he gets mad. He's like, what do you want? What do you want? It's crazy. Anyways, I called Paris. I was telling him, I'm like, dude, I decided not to play the beta of the Division. He gave me his codes, and I just said, no, I'm not going to do it. I want to be surprised once the final product comes out, because I think that, you know, I did that with Destiny. I did that with a couple other games, and I just want to be surprised for once, man.
Well, see, and that's why I didn't want to play the beta codes when they sent them to me. I was like, no, I'll just let someone else do it, because I feel the same way. I got a chance to play it at the event. I know what the game is like. I got a feel for it. And I just remember with the Destiny alpha and beta, I don't want to say I burnt myself out, but I just played them over and over and over. So when the final game came out, it was like for the first few hours of the game, I'm like, all right, been there, done that. You know, so I don't want to do that again. Yeah. I'd rather when the final game comes out, I'm just going to play it fresh and just enjoy it from the start. You know, unlike Pete, who probably internet really does work, but he's secretly playing it with Division beta right now. I didn't look on Xbox Live to see if he was online. I looked. I was like, okay, he's offline. I was going to call
him out. Oh, nice. Well, to fill in the blanks a little bit, if people are a little confused, I do have that information about the DLC and their plan right in front of me. So as you were pretty much right in the ball, Paris, first expansions, I'm going to focus on opening up the underworld of New York City and focus on co-op action, having three friends together, and the second one, Survival, is focusing more on turning the whole map into a dark zone for that hardcore multiplayer experience, you know, kill on site, take your stuff, you know, last man standing mentality, and then, of course, Expansion 3 we don't know anything about yet. So I agree with you. It's cool that they have some idea of what people can expect long-term, and this was, I've said on the show before, this is what I was hesitant about. You know, is this just going to be a game I'm going to play for the story, and that's it, and I'm done? Or is this going to be enticing enough of a game to be like, this is fun, like Destiny is? I could see myself coming back once they put out new content. But remains to be seen what this actually looks like in motion. But it's nice to have a vague idea of, you know, one being co-op, one being hardcore PvP, and then one we don't know anything about yet. But props to Ubi for getting ahead of this.
And I have to give a shout out to, on Twitter, at Mr. Broomstick XL. He literally just tweeted me, I just had loot extracted in the Dark Zone playing the Division. It was nerve-wracking and liberating. I think this is a winner. He's excited. So that's good. That's the kind of feedback I want to hear from people that are playing on a beta, that they're excited about it. Because, look, I want the Division to be good. It's just I was a little skeptical. That's all.
But it's good that you know that Ubisoft been releasing information here and there. Like, why are they gonna release everything at the same time? You know, before the game comes out. Like, that was the best part about Destiny. Those mystery moments. Like, everybody, like, man, what's gonna happen in a week or two or next month? Or, you know, like, I love surprises like that, man. You know, so take your time, release little things here and there, and then eventually give us more information about extra content that's coming out, you know? So I love that. By the way, anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's about it. Other than, you know, I just got to say, gaming in 2016, you know, since a lot of this EA stuff is coming out, man, I'm very excited for EA titles this year, because I'm day one on Battlefield 5. I'm just, you know, a little birdie that we talked to offline. I remember telling him that I'm like, no matter what I'm in, you know, I want to play it. And obviously Mass Effect, just why wouldn't you? You know, Mirror's Edge looks great. Unraveled, we all love Unraveled at
E3. I love Unraveled. I can't wait for that.
I know, it's, and like I said, they're probably going to have something Titanfall related this year. And, you know, they're going to have something Star Wars related this year. And then obviously you got like the UFC game is coming out, and obviously all the other EA sports title. I mean, this is a huge year for EA. It really is. I'm just excited to see how it's all going to play out.
And you know what? I'll go ahead and throw in my little quick Miss Cleo. If we're going to get a Star Wars game this year, I would really hope it would be a Rogue One tie-in game. Because so many people have been bemoaning the fact that Rogue Squadron has been sitting on the sidelines for years, when it's one of the best gameplay formats I've ever played in a game. And the legacy, going back to the X-Wing TIE Fighter games, is tremendous amount of people that are attached to that, how fun those games are. Plus, new people that have never tried them before. You have a tie-in, you know, Rogue One comes out. That's going to be a big deal at the end of the year. You have a game that goes with it, and a movie game that doesn't suck because it has a pedigree to pull from. That seems like a win. I really hope the Rogue Squadron team is working on that.
Here's my Miss Cleo prediction. I think that the big, big Star Wars game is coming out next year once the next Star Wars comes out. And if they do release something this year, it probably will be a little bit something smaller, you know, just to release it around the time when this Rogue One movie comes out at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That's my prediction. I just don't see them releasing Mass Effect, Battlefield, Titanfall, and now this all at the same year.
Not Titanfall, but I think Star Wars would be fine if it was a Rogue Squadron type game, because that doesn't compete with anything else. There are so few action flying games that even exist anymore, let alone on consoles. So that market is wide open for them to take advantage of. It's just Titanfall would not be okay going against Battlefield. They'll definitely put that out next year, no question.
This year is all it's going to be all about Mass Effect.
I
know. I had this conversation with Paris, and Paris like, you know, don't sleep on Battlefield, man. It has a huge fan base, man. You know, but don't sleep on Mass Effect, man.
Oh no,
I'm telling you, that's the big game for EA for this year. I think personally,
I don't think they can.
If you guys
mess
think I'm
up.
Wrong, please
no,
let
yeah.
me know.
I mean, you think of it this way,
why.
Guys. But I mean, before we even knew that Star Wars was going to come back, we all assumed Mass Effect was the new Star Wars for our generation. Like, this was the next big thing. And, you know, after, you know, the controversy of 3's ending settled a bit, people are still clamoring, I love this universe. When can I come back to this universe? So that's why we're so excited for Andromeda, Mass Effect 4, is because that what the amount of world building and lore that they did is among some of BioWare's best work ever. And I'm still comparing that to KOTOR and Dragon Age and Jade Empire. I mean, what they created with that universe in BioWare's Mass Effect is incredibly amazing. So the potential is limitless for what them to do. So, I mean, really, that would be the biggest F up in years if they mess up Mass Effect 4. Everything is going in their favor. There's no way it's going to fail. It'll be successful, and it'll be amazing. And I'm sure we'll all have a really great time playing it. And I kind of hope the co-op aspect from 3 returns into 4, because I thought that was a cool expansion in the gameplay. It was optional, and you didn't have to play it. But if you did, you had a really good time playing with your buddies.
Yep. All right. This Thursday, we're going to return with another episode of Fan Mail. We have a pretty cool amount of emails and voicemails. But remember, you still have time to send us voicemails and emails, send us questions, feedback. Just send it, and we'll read it on a future during a future episode of Gamertag Radio. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. That's play.it/gamertag. To listen to our past episodes and make sure to subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. We're everywhere. Just find us and spread the word to your friends and family and stuff. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR or fanmail at gamertagradio.com.
I got one last thing.
What's up?
I'm looking at Twitter right now, and the GOP debate's going on right now. So someone tweeted that Donald Trump just pulled a Steph Curry and set out the fourth quarter tonight. It just makes me laugh. Oh my God! Oh, politics is such a hot mess right now.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
scary.
Pure comedy. Pure comedy. All right. See you Thursday. We're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.